This is a Sichuan news update. Bluebirds could have once been seen and heard all across the Kaohsiung Valley. But the loss of habitat due to development saw a decline so significant that bluebirds became locally extinct. Kaohsiung Valley conservationists, seeing the devastating loss of bluebirds in the area, started the Bring Back the Bluebirds project. The project, started in 2012, seeks to reintroduce a flourishing population of bluebirds, while also fostering the stewardship of Gary Oak ecosystems. Jackie Taylor is the project coordinator for the BC Conservation Foundation, who oversees the Kaohsiung Bring Back the Birds project.
So they were so common that the local newspaper had an article, this is in the 50s, I believe, saying, we know it's spring because the bluebirds are everywhere. Right. So that was how common they were at that time. And they were all through southern Vancouver Island in Victoria and the Gulf Islands as well. And the populations all along the coast had pummeled through the 70s and into the 90s as people developed the Gary Oak habitats and the nesting cavities that they relied on were lost.
The Western bluebird is the only species of bluebird found on Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands. Male bluebirds can be identified by their bright blue color and orange chest, while females have a more gray coloration, with blue highlights throughout their body and a peachy colored breast. Taylor says the Western bluebird was once labeled as extirpated, meaning the species was locally extinct to the Vancouver Island and Gulf Island area, while the rest of the population in North America was doing fine.
They rely on cavity nesting holes that are built by woodpeckers in oaks here. They can also go in pine trees and other places, but they can't build their own holes. And so when people are taking down the old oaks to build homes and buildings, they lost their cavity nesting holes. And so they had nowhere to nest, and so their population just dwindled until it was gone.
The project is focused near Quamichin and Somnus Lake in the Kaohsiung Valley and uses a conservation area that is not open to the public for their work. Taylor says their work is to build a secure population of bluebirds in the area.
So secure looks like we have enough birds returning each year on their own that even if a few birds are lost or predated on or there's a bad season, the population will recover itself. Right now, what happens is if we had brought the numbers up, we stopped translocations and the population crashed again. Mm. And so we want to see some resilience in the population. We want to see the return rates high enough that it will grow itself.
She says this work can be done due to very early conservation of the biodiverse Gary Oak ecosystems. These ecosystems are where Gary Oak trees naturally occurred before European settlement. CHY joined Taylor in the field visiting the conservation site to look for early signs of bluebirds.
Do bluebirds have a very distinctive call?
Yes. So it's
because they sort of like sing.
They do, but this, what I tend to hear more right now is their contact call, which sounds like a little pew, pew.
Since 2012, the project has been translocating pairs and families of bluebirds from Washington State to grow the local population. The project also supports the population by supplementing nesting cavities with wooden nest boxes and using supplementary food sources to make sure the birds are receiving enough food.
This is a feeder made by one of our volunteers. So this mesh is the right size for a bluebird to fit in, but too small for starlings. And so we give them daily rations of mealworms. And the reason is, I mean, there is enough food to support them here, but having that little bit of extra makes it more likely that they'll have two clutches in a season instead of just one.
And the clutches is like the eggs.
Yeah, so they'll lay usually about five or six eggs, and then they'll raise those young until they fledge, and then if they have enough energy and they're all doing well, then they'll have a second clutch of eggs, which they'll raise.
She says they have about 15 volunteers who monitor the local population. Along with monitoring the area, Taylor says volunteers do a lot of work building nest boxes and bird feeders, and even growing the mealworms that are used for supplementary feeding.
We keep track on data sheets so that we can share the data with Project Nest Watch and then other researchers who want to know about how songbirds are doing, then they can use that information too.
It also helps us. It helps us to learn more about the safety of the boxes and how the birds are doing. So, you know, if we notice that in one spot, you know, the adults keep showing up dead in that box, then we can sort of go, okay, something's wrong with that location. And often what it is a house sparrow has taken over that area and is fighting for the boxes. So, you know, that gives us information so we can decide, okay, so is that place where we should just remove that box, or should we put little hole reducers so that it's only available to small birds like chickadees and wrens. The cavities that the swallows and the bluebirds would have been using are created by woodpeckers. They can't build their own cavities. So they just have to rely on what cavities are available. And because we have taken down so many of the old oaks that would have had those cavities, there just isn't very many available.
Okay.
So they do very well in boxes, which is the good news. And it's worked to recover populations in lots of other places, which is, you know, for example, Ontario, this was the eastern bluebird. The species had been... I'm distracted by this hawk. I'm guessing we're not going to see a bluebird now.
Do bluebirds hear that noise and just instantly hop?
Yeah. So, woodpeckers will build a new cavity every year. But because it's part of their, you know, attract a mate behavior. And then the holes are available to other creatures. But it has to be, you know, the big old trees have to be available for that. But it is, I mean, the good news about that is, yeah, using boxes has worked well to recover populations in areas where they lost their cavity nesting trees. They'll be going around right now, the pairs, and just investigating all of the different boxes. And it's funny, actually, this time of year, it's kind of fun to watch because you'll see them. It's like they're having a bit of a couple's argument. You'll see the male sitting on one box and the female like, but what about this one?
Taylor says they tend to see bluebirds returning in March, and by April, most of the birds will have established themselves. She says they stay for the summertime before they migrate down to Mexico in August.
So, the funny thing is they normally migrate, but we've had quite a few actually stay this winter.
Oh, yeah. Is that normal? Is that like a concern?
It's not a concern. I think there were so many because it was mild, but it's not uncommon when there's a bunch of bluebirds living in an area for a few to stick around. That would be pretty normal. It's just the numbers was quite high.
During the interview, Taylor says in recent years, they have been seeing bluebirds visit the south coast of Vancouver Island. While bluebirds are not yet resting in the Victoria area, she says this is a very encouraging sign for the local population. While Taylor says there's not one target number for the population they're working towards, Taylor says they want to get the population secure to the point where the birds can sustain themselves.
We'll still need to maintain the boxes. That's kind of a forever thing. And we might need to support them with mealworms sometimes to, you know, get them through bad years. But we're hoping that we can get them a little bit more self-sustaining.
With conservation efforts underway for the last 14 years, the project received good news last year, seeing the highest number of bluebirds in the area since the 1980s. The second highest population count was in 2015, with 29 total birds counting adults and young.
Last year we had about 20 adults, and over the course of the year they added 72 young. Now, the first year of every species' life is a very risky one, and so we'll only see some of those come back, but it's great to see the population growing.
As bluebirds start to return to the Cowichan Valley, the Bring Back the Bluebirds project is hosting a workshop for people interested in volunteering.
We're going to have a workshop. We're going to train everybody on how to identify different nests and different birds that use the boxes. Then I'll set everybody out on their way with their equipment, and they'll go and check on all the nest boxes and see who's in there. And they'll keep checking those every week to see what's going on. They'll let me know if there's bluebirds, and if we find bluebirds, then we'll start supporting them with daily feedings of mealworms.
People interested in volunteering can email couchandbluebird@gmail.com. Taylor says people can also email her if they believe they spotted a bluebird. This helps the project keep track of the birds to support them. The project also has an Adopt a Nest program, where by donation, supporters can adopt a nest, receiving updates and photos of the bluebird family who nest there over the season. As the population continues to grow, Taylor says she's excited to see what will come next for the songbird population in the Cowichan Valley. For CHY News, this is Laura McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.